Steering wheel tappers, the 10 and 2s, Sunday drivers and dislikers of queues, beaded chairs, boombox boots, school runners and dashboard drummers, the singers, the seat adjusters, even the sat-nav addicts.
Take the next left.
At Esso, we notice every detail. Whatever type of driver you are, remember to scan your Tesco club card when you fill up at Esso. Esso. Energy lives here. For more information, visit esso.co.uk.
The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Welcome to the experience that is the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter Brian Berg. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/highspotpodcast, as well as Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at High Spot Podcast, and our brand spanking new website, highspotpodcast.com. Great show for you today. We've got Faye Jackson from Ring of Honor and Woman of Honor. She will talk about her debut match at Pro Wrestling Magic, as well as her aspirations of becoming one day the Women of Honor champion. So we've got a great show for you there. Happy Valentine's week for you guys who had that special somebody. All I know is that me and the trendsetter had some deeper pockets because we didn't have to waste our money on chocolates and dinners this week. So to everyone, though, who did have that Valentine, happy Valentine's Day to you. We have a special wrestling Valentine at the end of the show, so stick around for that. But trendsetter, how's everything doing, man? You seem like you're a little bit healthier. You seem like you're in better spirits. How are you doing, and where can they find this High Spot Podcast?
Well, first and foremost, is that you're going to start pronouncing my name now? Trendsetter?
It's in the mood. I feel today
it's
like,
getting kind of annoying now. You only said it twice.
Getting to the end of the week, and I'm like...
Well, congratulations on that.
What is trendsetter? Trendsetter, that's how I should say it.
You know how you say it, Jeff. Stop it. But folks, basically what Jeff was talking about before of where you can find us too, we're in various places now where you can find content. Jeff mentioned the website, the various places on social media, but also we're part of quite a number of networks too, Jeff. And, you know, part of the newest network that we're a part of is Cheap Hops Podcast Network. Thank you so much, Brian Fritz, and being in partnership with that and all the great content you can get on there, as well as all the great content you can get on the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Network. And also, you guys can catch us on iTunes, follow us, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, give us a review, let us know how we're doing. You can also listen to the show on TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and SoundCloud, Jeff.
Yeah, and don't forget our High Spot Podcast YouTube channel is up and running. We've got exclusive interviews with such stars as Colby Covington, UFC welterweight, Impact Tag Team Champions, LAX, Alberto El Patron, Sienna the Savage, got Bullet Club members Marty Scurll and Adam Hangman Page. Plus, you can watch videos from High Spot Podcast miniseries, The Adventures of the Trendsetter, with my own tag team partner here, Brian Berga. He's got tons of videos from AVN that are actually uploaded every single day, so make sure you subscribe and keep an eye out on those. Very interesting. A lot of good feedback coming out of those, so definitely want to keep your eye out for Adventures of the Trendsetter. Great guest today. Faye Jackson will join us shortly, but we got to start first with the headlines and news from this past week in the world of professional wrestling. Trendsetter, anything catches your eye that you want to talk about or lead off with first?
Well, you and I spoke about this before we started doing the show, and I think it's something we need to address right in the forefront. It's talking about the fact that WWE's now decided to, instead of separating their shows individually, having pay-per-views right? I don't think I can call them pay-per-views anymore. They're more like specials because they're not on pay-per-view anymore. They're exclusively I feel at least to the network.
Yeah, network specials.
Network specials and things of that nature. But you know, to combine these shows now for both rosters of SmackDown Live and Raw rather than having them individually, I think it's pretty important. It's a pretty big step in terms of the direction they're going for with the company, just because, you know, there's a reason why they did the draft. There's a reason why they split it. There's a reason why we have individual champions on both brands. To me, I found it kind of surprising, but at the same time, which I always refer back to from a business standpoint, I guess it does make sense because you had mentioned me before and you were showing me kind of some of the articles that some of the events they're going for individual shows like SmackDown Live and Raw, they're not selling out. So the following for that isn't as intense or isn't as large as they thought it was going
to
be.
They're throwaways because you don't feel like you need to watch it that day of. You know, you feel like I can catch it during the week and it doesn't feel important. Like SmackDown Live has been, I can't remember the last one that I've been that I've had to sit through the whole thing and watch it because it's been that good. So, you know, obviously they do have a problem. Brian, wouldn't you say though that WWE always falls to that trap that they always load Raw and SmackDown is always the redheaded stepchild where they don't give it enough love as far as like filling the roster? Listen, as soon as Ronda Rousey was going to sign that contract, Elimination Chamber, she was going to sign to Raw. Rumors if Bobby Lashley signs, he's going to sign to Raw. So, I mean, what the hell kind of love does SmackDown ever get? And WWE always falls into the trap. This is why they always fail, I think, when they don't, when they do the brand split, is that they don't show the same amount of interest in SmackDown Live. I personally, Brian, when I watch SmackDown Live, it's the same guys, it's the same people in a tag team match, in triple threat matches, fatal five ways. Then I see the tag team titles defended the same, you know, by the same teams. It just gets bland, and they don't add any. There's no differentiality, you know, in the SmackDown roster. Just so bland.
Now that being said, Jeff, and I agree with you to that point, but with Raw, with all the amount of people they have on the roster, has been pretty bland to itself. Now, for example, when you look at SmackDown Live, it's bland for a reason, because it's the same guys and same women that you see. For Raw, with the amount of talent they have on that roster, and then you say, like, for example, Ronda Rousey, she's going to sign. Of course she's going to Raw. There's no way she was ever going to go to SmackDown Live. And also, for the mere fact that the rumors are true about Bobby Lashley, he's going to Raw because, you know what, you need somebody to compete with Brock Lesnar if he's the champion at that time, depending on how the circumstances fall. And they're still bland, and they're a three-hour show. I can't I could kind of stand a two-hour show of SmackDown. I can't sit through a three-hour show of Raw anymore.
Yeah.
So what does that say about that? It's completely, like you said, they fall into the same trap. But then it makes you wonder. Well, maybe not wonder so much, but like, look at what they're going to do with the XFL after you think they learned their lesson, right? And we spoke about it extensively with Brad Shepard about, you think Vince is going to learn his lesson? It's going to be a little bit different than what it was before. How many years was it between drafts and they separated the rosters and the same thing has happened again? They will always treat Raw as the A show and the B show, and I have no problem with that. But when you make it that, you said, that that bland on one side and the other, and now you're combining both rosters for a special event or pay-per-view, whatever you want to call it, just sends me the signal right now that I don't think it's working. But yeah, to each their own, because right now at the same time it benefits them, I guess, to have it because you have individual stars as champions. Because honestly, if the roster is put together, you think AJ Styles is going to be Universal Champion over Brock Lesnar? No, he needs to be on SmackDown Live to be a champion.
I understand the co-branded shows, they don't need to put the rosters together because they have, I think, the biggest roster they've had in like forever since the company's ever existed. So they do need to separate the shows so that you can watch your favorite, you know, wrestler on that given show, which is fine. But then when it comes to the pay-per-view, I mean, the SmackDown pay-per-views have just been god-awful, you know what I mean? And if you think about the balance here,
the Raw ones aren't anything to talk about either.
Besides the tag team titles, the U.S. title and WWE championship, what other rivalries do you think would benefit from going on to a co-branded pay-per-view? To me, you can have like side matches as far as like maybe Wyatt and a Broken Matt Hardy face each other because it's important. But what other secondary conflicts do you see on SmackDown that are worth being put on a co-branded show? There's not. It's only the title match and the women's title. I'm sorry about that. And the women's title. So other, besides that, when would they be able to fit on a show? You know what I mean? So WWE always does the same mistake. And I guess because, you know, Raw is the it's the main show. That's fine. But, you know, SmackDown, it started out great because it was fresh and you actually started to believe that, hey, this could be like back in the early 2000s where, you know, they were competing with Raw and they tried to make it great. And you actually could see some
competition.
I can't
believe I fell for it, too. The land of opportunity. You've seen things we hadn't seen before in the past.
And the booking just makes no sense. How does Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn keep losing?
And one more thing,
and they get title matches after title matches.
Yeah, and one more thing, too. You know how we were so about how Raw was always about the focus was on Stephanie and her issues? Stephanie hasn't been on the show for a while. And now SmackDown Live, what's your main storyline there? Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon. It's funny how after a year about almost this happening, it's the opposite now. It's so focused on Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, what payoff's going to be there, supposedly, as opposed to the WWE Championship, as opposed to tag team titles, as opposed to the Women's Championship, the U.S. title. What's going on here? Why are we not paying attention to the U.S. Championship, which should be a prestigious title held by somebody who was on so much momentum coming out of NXT, Bobby Roode, and now I could care less about the U.S. title, and this whole character of Bobby Roode just does not fit him. It's like the same thing when I say Seth Rollins, to me, isn't a babyface. He does not portray that to me. He's more of a jerk. He's more of an asshole. You know, that's the kind of personality he kind of can portray very well. So can Bobby Roode, and they're in opposite sides of where they should be right now. So that's my frustration.
Do you think SmackDown's more of a roster or a booking issue?
I think it's more of a booking issue, more importantly, just because here's the thing, as limited as the roster
is. I thought
it
was a roster, because I made the point where if you put, for example, Gallows, Anderson, Finn Balor, and Seth Rollins, who have absolutely no future as far as any shot at the... Well, maybe Gallows and Anderson have a shot at the tag team titles, but Finn Balor and Seth Rollins are so far removed from the heavyweight title picture, the Universal title, that they could conceivably go to SmackDown and have better matches with Nakamura's and with AJ Styles, and we'd love to see it be fresh. But somebody on social media went at me and saying, no, it's a booking decision. I wouldn't want these guys on there because it's the booking and the way they have these guys. I think it's a roster issue. I think that I just need to see more guys on there. I love Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but honestly, SmackDown's, and here's where maybe I've answered my own question, they've booked them in the way that, okay, move aside. I want to see other guys get this opportunity.
Well, here's the thing. If you add more guys to it, Jeff, look at it from this perspective. The reason why I'm saying it's a booking issue is just if you add Finn Balor, you add Seth Rollins, you add the Good Brothers, right? Okay, at what point do you see them in storylines where it's to the point where you're like, okay, enough, can we move on to something else? And then you're like, what? Okay, let's go bring somebody else into the main roster. The booking has to appreciate the talents on it, and it has to be a better quality. Otherwise, you're not going to care about it. You know, believe it or not, guys like Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, and Gallows and Anderson could get lost in a very small shuffle, which is the SmackDown main roster, if they're not booked correctly. I mean, right now you're getting sick and tired of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, two guys that we enjoy watching them in the ring, but it gets boring. I can see the same thing happening to Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Gallows, and Anderson. They just, the booking standpoint from where they're positioned, I mean, it's just terrible right now.
So Backlash could be a very important pay-per-view network special as we head in after WrestleMania, because that could be the day where they decide to do the draft, where the co-branding of the matches begin between Raw and SmackDown Live. It'll be interesting to see what happens, but you know, we've still got a long ways to go before we get to that. So there's internal talk in WWE about doing that, which at the end it does make sense for them to do. But as we get to Elimination Chamber, now we know that there's going to be a 7-man Elimination Chamber, because obviously Bray Wyatt can't just lose to one guy, he loses to two guys, which means they don't know what to do with Seth or Finn, which is fine. I mean, you could have had Finn do something else. You could have Finn in a 6-man tag, but obviously they need to have 7 guys in the chamber. So your thoughts heading into Las Vegas, and finally we will find out who will vie for that chance to take on Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
My thoughts on it, basically from what you're describing it, Jeff, is that since they've added a 7th man, it's so many emotions here. And I can clearly say, one, it's more of like you've clearly, at least in my opinion, from the fans' perspective, have shown me that you guys can't make a decision of what it is you want to do. So instead of positioning Seth Rollins, which he was originally going to work with Jason Jordan, clearly he has neck surgery, he's not going to be out. That storyline gets thrown aside, though honestly, in my opinion, when it comes to that type of storyline, I could get why it was going to happen, but to be a WrestleMania match, kind of shake and scratch my head on that one. So you have nothing for Seth Rollins, so we're going to put him in this match. I told you, I would just rather see Finn and Seth Rollins in a WrestleMania match or have them feud in some way, because they still do have some history, you know, and you know that could work in the sense of a storyline. So what it's proven to me with the Elimination Chamber match in itself is that, you know, it's very easy to glorify these types of matches, like, for example, Hell in a Cells and these specials like TLC and Money in the Bank. Let's just put everybody in and everybody will be happy. Not necessarily, because it's going to be a throwaway, basically, in my sense. We kind of know what's going to be. We know where it's being positioned, where it's being led to. So when you put these individuals, I feel like it's a waste of their time, because they could be put in other situations or other angles that can help build them towards that road to WrestleMania to hopefully have an individual match of their own. So I'm not quite happy about it, but again, it's kind of typical in the sense when you get this close to it and plans kind of fall apart, which they did with Seth Rollins and in terms of his storyline. Hey, let's put them all together and hope for the best.
Listen, WrestleMania 32 we complained about because there's the injury bug. There was a lot of things that WWE got struck with. It was unfortunate. There's so many wrestlers that were hurt that the card was kind of makeshift, but it still worked. Now the WWE has found itself in a time where let's knock on wood here and make sure that, you know, I don't want to push injuries on anybody, but yeah, you've got injuries to Samoa Joe and Jason Jordan as far as the Raw brand, right? But right now, they're as healthy as they're going to be, and there should be no excuse for WWE, as they set up the WrestleMania card, that this should not be one of the most stacked lineups in WrestleMania history. So I want to see where they go, because I still don't know what's going to happen with Braun Strowman. Elias, maybe they're teasing something with them. You don't know. Still Seth, Finn, still a question there. John Cena, is that matchup with Undertaker going to happen? Do you want to see it happen? So there's still a lot of questions heading into Mania, where the only set match that you can think of right now is Nakamura, AJ Styles. Asuka's going to challenge somebody, and then we get to Ronda Rousey, who's probably going to team up with, what they're saying, either The Rock, which is unlikely, Kurt Angle, maybe Seth Rollins. I would have liked Braun Strowman in there if you're not going to put him in the title picture. But looks like they want him and Elias at Mania.
Yeah, but you mentioned, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago that the Kurt Angle, I think makes a little bit more sense.
It does. It does make more sense if you're not going to get The Rock. The Rock would be my first choice.
Yeah, of course.
You can talk about WrestleMania 31. There is history there, but, you know, the movies, you know,
the insurance,
the business, they don't business want standpoint. Him to go. You know, how far can he go, yeah, as far as wrestling wise, though? So
it becomes a question now, will Hollywood allow him to do it? As opposed to that, you know, yeah, if it was up to him, he probably would. But in terms of, you know, his future and, you know, the benefit of not getting injured, they don't want to take that risk.
So Rousey will sign officially her WWE Raw contract at Elimination Chamber. Is it a little early, do you think? Do you think now they're just planting the seeds now as you head into Mania at the right time? What's your thoughts on the whole contract signing? And again, was there any doubt that she's going to be on Raw?
It's planting the seed, and it's planting the seed with your finger, Jeff. Basically, you know, they're trying to build up Elimination Chamber the way they want to, and having Rousey on the card to basically sign a contract. Well, you know what happens with contract signing, so there's going to be something there. It's not going to be something as simplistic as her just signing a contract. There is going to be some confrontation, depending on who's going to confront her. It might be Charlotte, might be, you know, people from the main roster on Raw. But ultimately, I think it makes sense, because they're trying to build it up. They've already signed her. She had her little moment that she had at the Royal Rumble, completely marked out, so hopefully she's over that and will give a better performance come Elimination Chamber. But I think it makes sense.
Has it settled in that Rousey is now part of the WWE?
I don't think, for me at least, it won't settle in until I actually see her starting to work some type of angle.
My question for you is this. Do you still side with the smart wrestling fan that's a little insulted that she has to prove herself in the WWE? Or are you one of those people that think, like me, that she's already proved herself in real fighting, and this only validates the women's revolution even more that you have a name like Ronda Rousey joining WWE?
I honestly have to side with the smart marks here, the wrestling fan that thinks they're, you know, that Ronda has to earn her
at
spot.
At the end of the day, trendsetter, it is wrestling. Okay, I get that we're protective of what they do, but she's proven herself in real fighting. Even though she's gotten her ass handed to her the last two fights, she has proven herself in real fighting. Now she's going to WWE. She is a name. She is a big draw. Does she have to prove anything to the smart wrestling fan? Or, to me, it validates the women's revolution.
You're not getting it, Jeff. I'm not going in that direction. The direction I'm going is, if we're going to use her as a special attraction, similar to maybe like Floyd Mayweather,
what business does Floyd Mayweather have to do in a WWE ring? He's a boxer. And then rumors going out that he might fight CM Punk in an octagon.
Oh, that should be great. That should be fun.
How dare Floyd Mayweather even think he can compete in an octagon? That being said, it's not that Ronda Rousey, to me, has to prove herself that she has to pay her dues and that nature. No, no, no. She has a big enough name, a big enough star power to the general audience that's going to make money. So it makes sense. I get it. She's probably in that Brock Lesnar-type-esque stature. But what concerns me is that if she's going to be a full-timer and she's immediately going to be put in the spotlight, you might run the risk. This is my mindset. You might run the risk that if you put Ronda Rousey in a situation where, again, if she does a tag match early on in her career, great. But what's going to happen when she's solo, individually? Who's going to work with her? How are they going to make her look good? Because once you're there individually, one-on-one with somebody, you get exposed. Not that, you know, oh, you know, she's a legit badass and kick anybody ass, but, you know, we've seen, and I hate to use this, but let's use the example of Shayna Baszler. I see her in the ring, and it just, it looks terrible. It depends on who you work with.
Now, she's been wrestling now for a while, Baszler, on the Independence, right?
How many years she's been put in?
Do you think Ronda, though, being the star that she is, and we don't know how long she's been at the PC. You know, maybe she's been working out.
She could be training for 6 months, Jeff. Really, it doesn't matter.
Do you really think that she would embarrass herself out there if she didn't think she could do it, if she didn't have at least show some kind of talent?
I mean, so the same thing back at you. Would she go back after her defeat to Holly Holmes and fight Amanda Nunes if she didn't think she was going to win? You can think all you want. You can practice, Jeff, every single day. Dude, I can train right now at the Performance Center for a year and a half. CM Punk trained for a year and a half in mixed martial arts. I know they're two different sports. You can train all you want. But if you do all that, it's a big difference from believing you can do it to going out there when the spotlight's on there. For example, she marked out a lot when her mom was supposed to be at the Royal Rumble and she completely went out of character. She was supposed to be this badass and she kind of looked out of place. Didn't know how to react because she was so excited for the moment.
It's a different world, definitely.
Got to her. My concern is, will the moment get to her? Will she have the ability to put on a good match? Now, for example, certain stars like Stephen Amell from Green Arrow. My goodness, what an athlete he is. He kind of just dove right into it and went 100%. Kind of maybe similar to what Ronda Rousey's doing. I won't know until she finally steps in the ring. Until she steps in the ring, I won't know. But as a smart fan, I'm concerned with that because what happens when you expose that and if you're WWE and you put a huge investment into something like that and then it ends up falling flat in an egg and people are booing or yawning and this sucks and they start chanting this stuff because she's not that good in the ring or depending on who she's working with, it's not that good of a match. That's going to be a bitter pill to swallow, especially if she's a full-timer. If she's a one-time attraction, go all for it. Go for the championship. Go do those things because you know what? You're going to see her once. It's only going to be one time or two times or something like that. If you're a full-timer,
this is gonna be full-time.
That's what concerns me. You're going to be a full-timer to do something you've never done before.
Because after the Elimination Chamber, let the Ronda Rousey debate begin because she will definitely be a lightning rod.
So do I make a point here, though?
You definitely do. I just think that
it's not about proving herself in terms of, you're right.
It's that they use that word, proving themselves, and that's to me.
But she does have to prove herself, though. As soon as she steps in that ring and has to have a match, she has to prove that she can carry a match. She can react rather than question herself, all right, what's next? Do I have to do this, do that? And what happens when a spot is blown? How is she going to react? In that sense, I feel she has to prove herself.
We will find out soon enough, sooner than later, as close as to WrestleMania. I don't want to see how she does in the promo skills. I want to see how she does because, obviously, is she somebody that...
Well, let me ask you this. If she fails at the promos, does it give you more of a cringing feeling? Whoa, if she's getting this nervous doing promos, how's she going to be like when she's in the ring?
I think once she's done with the, marking out, once she's done with the, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here, I'm doing this. I think once she does that, I think that she'll be fine.
Okay.
But as far as promo-wise, I believe so. Because I think she can talk some trash. I think, you know, she can do it when they do the face-to-face promos and stuff like that. We will see, though, because like I said, it's one thing, you know, talking about it and one thing actually doing it. So we'll see how she does in the promos.
One more final thing, and we'll move on, I promise you. But she can talk trash, right? She can do stuff like that in the promos. But what happens when other people hit her with some truths that she's not ready to talk about? She still, to this point, doesn't want to talk about the Amanda Nunes loss. Doesn't want to talk about the Holly Holm. Are you going to tell me that if you're a talent...
Is that off limits?
If it is, then honestly, that's the biggest injustice. Because I don't care how much you're paying, it has to be fair game. And if she can't handle that, then it shows me a little bit in terms of emotional standpoint. If you can't handle that, how are you going to handle 20, 30, 40,000 people screaming, chanting, you suck, if you do suck in the ring? How are you going to be able to handle that emotion?
tell you, it's going to be fun, man. And finally, before we get to Fade Jackson, I want to talk about this real quick. Dolph Ziggler, 2-year deal, $1.5 million reportedly. Now, you don't know, give or take a couple $1,000s there, but just your thoughts. We've had Cody Rhodes, who's given up a multi-year deal with WWE to believe himself, to make himself a bigger star. Mm-hmm. Here you have the case where Dolph Ziggler, you know what? He's happy in a place where he's at right now. There's no reason to go out to New Japan Ring of Honor, maybe make less, be on the road definitely, maybe more, maybe less, you don't know yet, but also for WWE to allow him to do side projects and work on his comedy and work on other stuff that he needs to do, maybe a movie here or there. Your thoughts on Dolph Ziggler, the contract signing, and then Dolph Ziggler's choice staying with WWE?
From the contract signing, I'm surprised we found out enough information in terms of what he was going to be making in a 2-year deal.
Oh, they threw the cash at him, my man.
When it comes to that, when the money's thrown your way, it's very hard to walk away from money on the table. And for all those little added bonuses for maybe like a movie deal or have some support or some promotion for his other side projects, looks like a pretty good deal long term for a guy like Dolph Ziggler. I mean, any of us would probably take the money and be like, you know what? I'm kind of close maybe to the tail end of my career. I'm not a young guy anymore. I kind of want to have some little financial stability and also work on other things that you're talking about. So, yeah, I get it. From a professional standpoint, from a guy who's rooted on for Dolph Ziggler, who's kind of wanted him to get over that hump and have his moment like he did after WrestleMania 29 at the Izod Center when he won the title and then unfortunately had to vacate it due to concussions, which is an unfortunate situation, but the crowd wanted him to do it.
That was crazy.
Wanted him
that
to
was,
get that,
that
moment.
That was the pinnacle of Dolph Ziggler.
Exactly. And to see where it's gone now, if he were to do what Cody did and bet on himself. But again, it depends on the individual. For me, if I was Dolph Ziggler and I was frustrated, you know, with my job, like I don't know what that's like, I would be like, you know, I want to bet on myself. I kind of want to do things on my account.
Totally agree. He should have bet on himself, Trent Center.
You know what? Ring of Honor, New Japan, as much as they are theoretically in people's minds, you know, they're not the WWE because the WWE is number one. These aren't cookie-cutter promotions. You could still make good money. You could still make good sales. And for the first time, maybe in Dolph Ziggler's career, at least in my opinion, would have been like, you finally have control of your own life. You dictate what you want to say on the ring. You dictate how you want the match to go. You dictate your merchandise sales and how much money you're making, what type of T-shirts you want to make. Because, yeah, you know, when we look at the Young Bucks and Cody and the Bullet Club and all that, you know, this whole revolution in terms of, you know, wrestling and the all-in that's going to happen pretty soon and the promotion with the Young Bucks and Cody, you're going to put their money in to fill out a stadium. It's putting control back into the performer's hands. Because, again, I'm not trying to downplay promotions or promoters and things of
arena.
That nature.
Let's just talk about arena for all in.
Arena. Sometimes, as a performer, as a worker, you want some of the power dictated to you. And so, like I said, I would have liked to see Dolph take his own fate in his hands and say, you know what, I'm going to bet on myself because he has a lot to offer and go out there. Because I think he would have been white hot just like Cody was.
I really think he should have bet on himself, but you don't know the circumstances to each person's decision. So we can't get into Dolph's mind, but we probably know that obviously the money's there.
Oh, yeah, we can't, but I'm going from my perspective of
exactly
it. Exactly,
yeah. The stability and being able to adjust his schedule, WWE can do it. But it would have been great to see what if Ziggler went to New Japan. What if he went to Ring of Honor? Would have made, to me, honestly, a great member of Bullet Club. If you're going to make a transition from Omega maybe to Ziggler, totally change the name too, you know what I mean? Obviously, yeah, he wouldn't have kept Ziggler the name. So it would have been really interesting to see what would have happened if he would have tested the waters and gone outside. But everyone has a different mentality too. So if he's, you know, he knows what he's getting into with WWE. He knows exactly what they think of him as a worker.
Yeah, he's
so
perfectly.
If he's comfortable with that, then you know what, more power to you, though. It's a pretty sweet deal. You can't complain. 2 years, 1.5, like you said, you're winding it down. So why not go for this for this deal that WWE offers you? You know what it is.
Yeah,
so
maybe 3-4 years ago might be different.
Could have been.
But could have been, but you never know. But, yeah, ultimately he did what was best for him. And like I said, it would have been nice to see all that stuff happen, like we were just talking about, going to independent promotions and things of that nature. But you know what? He did what was best for him, and so we can't fault him for that. He has to do what's best for Dolph Ziggler.
All right, while we're talking about Ziggler winding it down as far as career-wise, and maybe had 1 or 2 years left as he signed a 2-year deal with WWE, mm-hmm, let's flip it around and talk about Faye Jackson, who is basically starting out on her career in professional wrestling, and what a great time, right? Women's wrestling is on the rise. She's with Ring of Honor. She's trained with the dojo, and now she's had an opportunity now to be with Women of Honor. Of course, she'll be kind of on the outside looking in on the women's tournament, but her aspirations are definitely to become one day the future champion of Women of Honor, and definitely hold the mantle there, and then carry that the women's division over there. So definitely interesting person. Great to get to know her, and obviously she brought her milkshakes to the High Spot Podcast, and definitely somebody who made her debut at Pro Wrestling Magic. Here's our interview and our chance to get to know Faye Jackson. High Spot Podcast. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter Brian Berga. I'm so thrilled. We are so thrilled because I can put this off my bucket list. I got to see Faye Jackson in person.
Yes, we got a chance to see her in person.
She brought her milkshakes to Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, and I'm glad I had the best seat in the house to watch. It did double duty. How did it feel? You took on Jordynne Grace,
yes,
and then you were in the Chad Adams Memorial Battle Rumble. That is double duty on your first time here at Pro Wrestling Magic. How do you feel?
Exhausted.
Yeah.
But
in a good way, though.
Yes, very much so. I am so happy to be a part of Pro Wrestling Magic. This is one of the top companies in New Jersey, and just for them to reach out to me and say, hey, can you think you can beat Jordynne Grace? So, yeah, I'm going to put you in a match with that. And, of course, the competitor that she is, like, good God almighty, like, all props to her. Sweet girl. And, yeah.
And we'll leave it at that. Yeah. Sweet girl.
Sweet girl, and, yeah.
Can take a beating, but can also give one out, too.
And she, yeah. You see my face? Yeah. Okay.
No, she was actually going to bestow upon you her nickname. So she was actually going to start naming you Thick Mama Pump.
She was I did hear her.
Yeah.
I mean.
Kind of surprised her a little bit there.
I mean, Pro Wrestling Magic, if they want to make that a tag, I'm just saying, the Thick Mama Pumps, we can do that.
How'd you like the atmosphere of Pro Wrestling Magic?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing fans.
This feels very intimate, doesn't it?
Yes. This is what wrestling should be. It should be people just into it, people liking what you do. Just everything about Pro Wrestling Magic and the atmosphere was amazing tonight.
Listen, there's going to be a Women's Royal Rumble coming up. And just talk about the strides that women's wrestling has just had in the last year or so. 2017, the women's revolution. Now women seem to have that. There's a demand for it.
Yes.
Just talk about all the strides that women's wrestling is making in the past year.
Okay, so not to put my age out there, but
you'd be the first woman actually to do that. Honestly,
but me growing up, I idolized Jacqueline.
Okay.
I idolized Sable. I idolized Tori Wilson and Lita and Trish Stratus. But it was always something about them and, China and Luna. Mm-hmm. But it was something about them where they were based on looks and not so much skill. But now you have to prove not only are you a badass in the ring? You can look cute doing it as well. This is a tough sport.
Yeah.
A very tough sport, especially for women. Because we still have to get over that hump of, okay, she's cute, but she can't wrestle. Or she can wrestle, but she's not that cute. And that's just something that women have to deal with. We have to, with guys, it's different. They work their ass off. They can be 600 pounds to 120 pounds. As long as they work their ass off, they get it. They're in. They got fans. Women are judged on a different critique.
I wonder what those could be.
So now I love this revolution of women's wrestling because we're giving our all. We're trying to show, we're not just TNA, to put it that way. Even though I do have TNA and I don't mind showing it.
Yeah, not the TNA. Yeah, exactly.
Gone it,
thank
it.
You. God exactly. bless you for doing that,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. I know what I am. I am a plus-size woman, which makes it even harder for me. But I come here and I go anywhere to prove that I should be in that ring. Besides looking at my appearance, I want you to see me in that ring. Like, all right, she can go. Like a fat girl can go.
See, and that's even the point that we shouldn't even be talking about our body image, or it should be what we can do in the ring. You know what I mean? And for you, and now, of course, Nia Jax in WWE, and she's proven that she's comfortable with herself.
Yes.
I think, honestly, if you are, I don't care if you're 400 pounds, if you're 150 pounds, it's what you do in the ring. And
exactly.
What you did in the ring today with Jordynne Grace was great.
Thank you.
Competing with the men, too. Is that something that that you want to do? You want to dabble in?
Absolutely. Yeah?
It's like the thing now, right, with the intergender battles now. I know Joy Ryan and Candice LeRae
do it. Did you see me in there with Fala? I tried. I definitely tried. I tried to put a little charm on him. I tried.
Yeah, and it worked to an extent, you know.
A little bit, but you know, that's still something I will have to. That's a new conquest for me. Seeing that I couldn't get him out, he got me out. So now my conquest is, let me try to beat him. It's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. But that's something that I can put on my bucket list.
Ring of Honor has presented now the women of Ring of Honor a chance to vie for a championship belt, something that we were talking to a lot of people about. Man, this is something they should do. It's kind of long overdue.
Yes.
How do you feel now you have the opportunity to vie for that championship? What would it mean for you to be a women's champion of Ring of Honor? Maybe to be the first, but maybe to even have it one day. What would it mean to you?
Well, for the tournament, unfortunately, I'm not in it because I didn't make the cut, which is fine because I'm still new to this. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that I've been doing this for years. I've been wrestling. My two-year anniversary of
wrestling is
coming up next month.
Congratulations
on that. So there's tons of women that should have that opportunity before I have it. But after they crown that champion, that's when I can study and look and see and be like, all right. So
start planning.
So since you got the belt, I need to start gunning for you.
I mean, you said you're coming up on your 2-year anniversary. Like, congratulating you on that. But, you know, watch you in the ring. And this isn't just because you're here. You know, you really seem to have a good good vibe of what you're doing in there.
Oh, thank you.
In terms of a learning curve, and I always find it interesting. I always ask every talent this, and I know people get annoyed when I ask, but I apologize because I find it fascinating. The learning curve for something like this. It isn't something you could just jump in there or anybody's like, hey, I'm a fan of wrestling. I want to go in there and give it a shot. No, it takes a certain unique individual to go out there and do it and put it all together. At this stage right now, it being 2 years coming up, what do you feel you're at right now? What do you feel you still need to want to, you know, continually focus and work on to improve, obviously, at the tail end of 2018?
Oh, I will always tell people, as much as if they like my matches, if they don't like my matches, I am still new to this. I'm still learning off of everyone. Mm-hmm. Just like with my match tonight, like, Jordan has been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
So I learned off of her tonight. And maybe next time, if I'm granted another championship match, since I was able to learn off of her,
I can teach her things.
Maybe that will be my advantage. You constantly have to learn and evolve in this business. And it's not just going to training. It's what you eat. It's how you work out. It's studying the tapes. It's studying the grapes.
eating the grapes.
Eating the grapes.
Eating fruits. Isn't fruits good? Simple sugars.
You know, watching the grapes and having a passion for this business, it is a 24-hour-a-day job. It is 24 hours.
And with that being said, I mean, wrestling is, you know, Jeff and I talk about it on the show. It seems like in 2017, there was such a huge boom for it. Like, before you knew, every independent promotion, you'd go out there on social media, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is happening. With social media being as popular as it is, and I always ask this, is another question I always ask talent too, how vital is it for you, especially 2 years and trying to make this your career, this is your life? How important is social media out there right now, especially now for professional wrestling, to go out there and get your content out there? It's not like the old days where you're tape trading.
Right.
You're actually going out there. You can watch your matches on YouTube.
Right.
You can go to promoters on the West Coast or overseas and say, listen, this is what I do. Would you be interested? Exactly.
Just click
It's your modern-day business card. How do you use social media to your advantage so you can get those opportunities of being booked in certain places that you want to be?
Well, for me, I think what I do is a little different that makes me stand out, because not only do I put out there that I wrestle, also put out there that I'm a plus size model. So
yes,
it does help in one sense or another.
Now, you're a plus size model prior to being a wrestler?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Yes. So for other people, you have everybody that's on the internet. There's not a person. There's even 5-year-olds that's on the internet, and they shouldn't be.
That's a whole other story.
They shouldn't be, but they are, and they go on YouTube. So it's always good to put up your content on YouTube. It's always good to use your Twitter. It's always good to use your Instagram. It's always good to reach out to people and make that connection. And I'm not saying, hey, at Pro Wrestling Magic, book me, here's my stuff, and they ignore it. I mean, you have to go and dig and find out who the promoter is. Do the right resume. Do the right highlight clips and send it to them. So maybe you're booked, maybe you're not. If not, it's probably because they didn't need you just yet. But, you know, you got to keep trying. This is also a business where a lot of people give up after a while.
It's tough.
No, it really is. And a lot of people, they'll do one chance, second chance, third chance, and people give up. Yeah. You cannot give up. That's something I done had people that's made it all the way up there and say, the reason why I got there is because I constantly hounded them. I constantly was talking to them. I was constantly sending them stuff. Yes, some promoters are like, no, don't send me too much. If I want you, I'll contact you. But some promoters, they need to know, and they want to know that you really want to be here. So
the key is you don't sit around and wait. You go out there and you make your
opportunities. No one's gonna be like, you know, knocking at your door.
You gotta do it, and I think that's a mistake that a lot of professional wrestlers make. They wait for the opportunities to come to them.
Yeah, of course. And you can't be doing that. You have to be proactive.
It works both ways. If you know there's a company you want to work, go send your stuff. And if it's
don't
the top,
take no for an answer.
Yeah, if it's the top company, like here, what if Pro Wrestling Magic doesn't want you? Well, there's SWF. There's WrestlePro. There's other companies in New Jersey that you can work until you build your name up to get into that company that you want to get into.
Listen, as firsthand, her social media, and I like every picture that she puts out there, so I know her social media. It's outstanding.
Stop marking out, Jeff. Seriously.
I can't help it,
it's okay.
Man.
I can't help it.
Wow.
At least I like it. You know, I got to deal with it on a consistent basis all the time, but okay. Go ahead, Jeff.
What in 2017, for example, you're a fan of wrestling, right?
Yes.
What have you been a fan of this in 2017, 2018, that you think wrestling is at an upturn? What has you been a fan of? Like, is there a particular match? It doesn't have to be women's wrestling. Like, for example, we were talking to Sawyer Fulton before, and we were talking about Wrestle Kingdom. We were talking about Alpha versus Omega. Talk about that. I know you also, do come in contact with the Young Bucks and them and stuff like that. Just tell me, like, do we appreciate what they're doing right now for the wrestling business? I mean, where you can have your own Hot Topic shirt.
Man.
I mean, how awesome is that? Like, what are you a fan of right now?
That's why you have to brand yourself, because sometimes it's not getting to the top. Sometimes you can just do it on your own. You got to get the people there and just be supportive of you. I love, absolutely love Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Thank you. God bless you for saying that. Kenny Omega is the future of this business.
I absolutely love anything. I'm like a big fan of New Japan right now. And I'm so sorry I can mess up everybody's names. I'm not the best with names.
Listen, I know Okada and Naito, and that's fine. I don't need to know their first name.
Oh, Okada is the GOAT.
Yeah?
Okada is the greatest of all time to me.
Wow.
Okada is the GOAT. There's Ishii.
Yes. It's true.
And you know what's amazing, too? That they're all humble, too. Yes. Like Cody, he's been in Pro Wrestling Magic. Heck of a guy.
Yes.
Kenny Omega, from everything we know, humble, just wants to make the business better. Marty is awesome. Young, but I mean, they're all good guys.
And look at Cody. Look at what he's doing. Yeah. He was at the top. He could still go back if he wanted to. I'm sure.
And he bet on himself.
But look what he's doing right now. He's put his name up there with like a Finn Balor.
What do you like? Do you watch WWE?
Yeah, I do.
What do you like? What do you like about it right now? Because it's tough, honestly. We go to a bunch of these shows. Right, and then we've been to Ring of Honor Final Battle. We've been to Wrestle Pros, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when we watch WWE TV, we're like, "Oh man. You're like, what do you like right now?
I love their women's wrestling right now.
Women's wrestling?
I love their women's wrestling right now. I was so happy when Paige came back.
Yeah.
She's one that had to bet on herself, too. And I was so, like, I think I fangirl. I love her mother, too. So, so I love when she came back. I love Nia Jax. I love that she's, it's almost like, I want to say that me and her almost started at the same time.
I could see one day there'd be an interaction with Nia Jax. How awesome would that be?
And I love seeing her progression.
Yeah.
Like, her progression to me is amazing. It's not easy doing stuff on those ropes.
It's not.
And I love seeing, like, she does the cannonball now.
Yeah.
And she does it just from, like, hitting through the middle. I can't do that. Yeah, I'll get you in a corner and bloop, got you. I can't do it just from you sitting in the No.
Definitely.
I love her progress. I love what NXT is doing with their women.
Yeah, of course. They're always replenishing. They're always looking. It's funny how they mention NXT is like the future brand. But when you look at it, a lot of people have been in the business for a while go to NXT.
Look at Amber Moon.
Exactly.
Amber Moon, yep.
And she just won. Jeff also had a chance to speak to during the WrestleMania weekend. And, you know, one of the most humblest person you'll see. But again, at the same time, she's been around this business for a while. So she's not, this isn't new to her.
Yes.
Maybe the TV aspect might be new to her. But, you know, you're talking about in terms of progression. I thought it was pretty interesting because What I'm always interested in is when we see you out there and that you go through that curtain, how much of it is Faye Jackson? Because here's the thing. Most people I always consider, like, from what you hear, I always hear a lot of people say, you know, the people are making on top, the supers are making on top, is, you know, they take themselves and they crank up the volume really high.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see you out there performing and doing your thing, how much of that is Faye Jackson, you know, going out there performer, and how much of it is Faye Jackson internally the Mark wrestling fan that loves professional wrestling?
When is people could tell you behind that curtain, I probably like want to throw up, like legit, like the jitters.
Yeah.
Even, but when my music hits, it's like turn on Beyonce.
You're not autopiloting, basically. You're in that moment.
Turn on Beyonce. You got to crank it up. Faye, it's your time to go. Show them why your milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. So
Steve Austin, oh, hell yeah. My final question is, what do you want to improve on in 2018? Like, what goals do you want to accomplish in 2018? That's my final question for Faye Jackson.
Right now, my only goal is trying to get on that top rope. Trying to get my big butt up there on that top rope. I'm constantly training. And I'm constantly looking for different promotions to work. I'll work anywhere. I don't care who it is, as long as you give me the opportunity. And if you see something you want to invest in me or whatever it is, I am happy to be there. So right now, I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, I want to get all the way there 2018. My progression, everybody has their own pace. Mm-hmm. And right now, I think that my pace is, you know, study more, work harder, get leaner, get faster. Till when it's 2019, I can say, all right, now it's time for me to step my game up a little bit more and do the same thing. Work harder, get faster, get leaner, train more, things like that. So, you know, I'm not going to say slow and steady wins the race, but it actually kind of does.
That's very true. Faye, we thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your time. We know you had to pull double duty tonight, and, you know, definitely doing it with a smile on your face, which we greatly appreciate. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on social media, FayeJackson419 on Twitter, on Instagram, and Faye Jackson on Facebook.
Faye Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, surely will be a name in 2018 and beyond. Thank you so much. Appreciate
it. Keep a lookout for her, guys.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right, once again, that was Faye Jackson. Thank you for her time at Pro Wrestling Magic. Had an amazing matchup with Jordynne Grace. And let's remember, though, that that interview was brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. From cool-looking flex-fit caps to great-looking men's and women's shirts, check out the entire winter fashion line, including brand-new long-sleeve shirts and hoodies. You got to go to collarxelbowbrand.com and save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all together, all in caps. Remember, Collar and Elbow is the fashion line for you. Trendsetter, what are your thoughts on that interview with Faye Jackson?
I like her milkshakes. That's all I can say. Now, what I enjoy about Faye, and she spoke about during the interview, Jeff, is she likes to combine, you know, her feminine side and what she offers in terms of, you know, hey, sex sells. She's going out there and portraying a type of look, but also she can go in the ring and she wants to prove that she can go toe to toe with any female competitor. I mean, she took Jordynne Grace to her limits out there. Even Jordynne was kind of saying, you know what, I call myself Thick Mama Pump. Maybe I have to kind of revert that name over to Faye Jackson during the match, which is pretty interesting to see because the crowd was really going behind Faye and really, you know, it was a really good match she had with Jordynne Grace, who is currently the Pro Wrestling Magic Women's Champion. What I enjoy about her is that, you know, she has respect for the business. She knows her history. She knows what it takes. But also, she's also a realist in the terms of she knows what obstacles are in front of her, as we spoke about during the interview. But what's cool about her is she doesn't look at that as a deterrent. She doesn't look at that as, oh, well, you know, typically this is going to happen. I'm going to have to deal. No, she looks at that as a challenge she's looking forward to have. So to me, it was very motivating to speak to her. And at that event, too, she was pulling double duty. She had done a women's match. She was part of the Battle Royal, which was the main event. So it just shows you her drive and dedication and passion for doing this. And to me, I think the best thing we do here on the High Spot Podcast, Jeff, is that we have – you know, from any guest, from the very first to the currently now, and it's been a lot of episodes we've been doing, everybody seems to be talking about that one thing, passion, doing something you love. And you could definitely tell from Faye Jackson's voice to what she does in the ring. As soon as she goes through that curtain, she's having fun. And it's infectious to the people in the crowd. It's infectious to people like us who are talking about it because you sense that from her. And I completely enjoyed it. And to me, I think the future is very bright for Faye.
Definitely very happy to have had her on the show. Hopefully she comes back on again. But our thanks goes out to Faye Jackson for joining the High Spot Podcast on this past episode. A couple of things now to kind of, as we wind it down here on the High Spot Podcast. Winding it down here on
this. That should be our segment now, the wind down.
Maybe. It has to be something wrestling-oriented, though. I don't, you know.
Does it always have to be wrestling-oriented, Jeff?
I would think so, right? Are we a wrestling podcast?
We've never identified ourselves as a wrestling podcast.
I know. A lot of people think, you know, a lot, when they see the Adventure of the Trendsetter, they think, like, well, what happened to the wrestling? And they are associating us now with something else. But I think what we want to do here on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network is we want to do wrestling, but we also want to do MMA, and we also want to do entertainment. What kind of entertainment? It could be Hollywood entertainment, it could be adult entertainment, whatever is entertainment. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that's what we're trying to kind of venture off into as we try to identify ourselves on this new platform that we have. And we have Brian Fritz to thank. So, you know, I just think that what do you identify ourselves at?
I just identify ourselves from the beginning as a show. Now, you know, the origins of the High Spot Podcast started off that we wanted to be a sports show. Then kind of we reverted to talking about wrestling because that's something we're very comfortable with. It kind of went off from there, but I've never really identified myself as just doing that. Kind of what you said and touched based on, you know, to me, I just think we're a show of entertainment. You know, we love talking about wrestling. That's something, obviously, clearly people who've listened to us, the members of the crew that are following us on all social media platforms out there and continually follow us at the events that we go to, you know that, hey, we'll always be doing this. But at the same time, to venture and do other things isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, as much as they say, and I was a firm believer of this, Jeff, sometimes you don't want to reinvent the wheel since it's working. If it ain't broke, don't fix it type of mentality. But sometimes you kind of just want to adapt and change things up. So, you know, my trips to Exotica, my trips to AVN was not a sense that I was trying to dive into the adult film industry. I was trying to put comparisons between the two. I was trying to showcase the events of the adult film industry as a business competition. And it's entertaining. It's something different. Me in a different world, like, going out there interviewing people.
You don't owe them anything as far as an excuse. But basically, it's something that we're like, oh, this is interesting. I can get to it. You know, cover it. Let's not deny ourselves that guys love this. You know, this is more of a male targeted audience, and this is something that they're going to click and they're going to watch. Of course, we're trying to get people to watch this stuff, you know what I mean? Something that piques people's interest, right? And it could be whatever, wrestling, MMA, and any kinds of entertainment. So I think that...
That's like what Jericho would say. If we find it entertaining and enjoyable, we hope the people that follow us find it entertaining and enjoyable as well. And hey, it might not be your cup of tea at that moment, but, you know, let it fester a little bit in terms of, hey, you might like it, but you know, we'll never veer off what we normally do and what we love to do, which is talk about professional wrestling. So
definitely a lot of diversity on the High Spot Podcast YouTube channel, and it is up and running. We've got a couple of interviews with such stars as Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions LAX, UFC welterweight Colby Covington, Alberto El Patron, of course, Bullet Club members, the villain Marty Scurll, and Adam Hangman Page. Bullet Club is fine, or so we say, but definitely make sure you check out our YouTube channel, and you'll see what we're talking about, though. So definitely witness it for yourselves, and then subscribe and like to hear not only High Spot Podcast, but look at the Adventure of the Trendsetter with Brian.
The High Spot Podcast, Jeff, is fine, okay?
Oh, no. I don't know about that now.
That's not just a catchy slogan on a T-shirt.
So let me hit you with a couple of things here before we go. So just your thoughts. Honor Rising is next week. It will feature Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega, and Bushi, speaking of Valentine's Day, against Cody and Marty Scurll, which Marty Scurll was like, I never signed up for this. Just your thoughts, though, on the whole Bullet Club situation going on here. Are they in trouble? Are they fine? What do you think is the end game here with what's going on with the Bullet Club?
Well, I think the end game right now is I had spoken maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, about how I could see Kenny maybe separating himself just because he might go for an individual championship. Maybe he'll start to go and compete for that title that's eluded him twice, the IWGP heavyweight title. But ultimately, I think right now the way if you watch Being the Elite on the YouTube channel, free plug there for them, you know, maybe it's the feeling that either, like what you said before, that the Bullet Club could be split into two different types of entities, like the NWO did, you know, red and black and silver and black, or it could be the situation where, very similar to what happened to Adam Cole, Cody could be seeing himself out the door right now because he seems to be manipulating from within and trying to put, you know, ideas in other people's heads. And this could be just a temporary separation and a pretty intriguing storyline, you know, to see the combination of Ibushi and Kenny Omega, who I never knew. I had to kind of do my research on it in terms of the Golden Lovers name and, you know.
Oh, yeah, even Fritz was like, when you Google, make sure you just be careful when you put Golden Lovers
in. Yeah, exactly. I had to be careful. You have to put Kenny and Ibushi first before you just put Golden Lovers in there. But, yeah, to see their history, and that's kind of cool. And I guess it's, you know, people who follow New Japan Wrestling and Kenny's career and Ibushi's, it's kind of a nostalgia feeling to have them back together. It'd be like similar to the Rockers coming back together, I guess, in a way. To see this, it just carries the storyline in. So I'm really interested in it. And I'm more interested because this is just building up to the fact that, you know, come New Orleans, we're going to see Kenny Omega and Cody compete, which is going to be, I feel, an amazing match.
Something could be the people match wanted of to see. WrestleMania weekend.
And, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. So I think it's just a build-up. I'm excited for it. I feel funny for Marty. He's like, oh, I didn't sign up for this. I'm 29. I didn't sign up for this. And, you know, maybe have another song to sing. I love his singing. I got to be honest. I'm not trying to chase his ass, but I think it's become very catchy. He might find himself a new career.
All right, keep it with New Japan. Strong Style Evolved. Rey Mysterio lays down the challenge for Jushin Thunder Liger. Sign me up. I'm sold. I would love to see this match. I think it's going to happen in March.
Again, one word, nostalgia, Jeff. I mean, Jushin Thunder Liger, Rey Mysterio Jr. It sells itself. And to me, it's like, man, you saw Rey Mysterio at the Royal Rumble. Looks in phenomenal shape. Hopefully those knee injuries, which he still has, are kind of behind him in terms of, you know, the longevity of his knees. And Jushin Thunder Liger, the ageless wonder, keeps going.
I love the trendsetter. He says knee injuries that he has but are hopefully behind him. Only a trendsetter can give us amazing double autonomies there with his.
Where's their double autonomy? The injuries he's had. He's had the knee injuries he's had.
Oh, see, I thought you said he has.
No, the knee injuries he's had are hopefully behind him. So maybe I did say that, and you know,
find out when we edit the show.
I don't pronounce it very well, as you can tell. Yeah,
we'll find out when we edit the show. Maybe
and you won't know. And you'll never know. You'll never know about it exactly because I don't make mistakes, Jeff. I don't. I make solutions. That makes no sense. But no, dude, in itself, just listening to those two in that title is just, it sells itself. But to me, it's like, if you have a chance to see that, go see it. Rey Mysterio, Jushin Thunder Liger, I'm in.
How about New Japan being all in as well as trying to get Hulk Hogan to be an honorary member of the Bullet Club?
No.
And how much
don't
was,
do that.
How much was he asking? 750K.
That's it?
Give or take a thousand there. Didn't this guy just win like a whole lawsuit of Gawker and or something like that? Didn't he put them out of business?
Well, doesn't like 75% of it go to his wife? I'm not being an ass here. I'm just saying like a good amount of that money goes to his wife regardless of it. So
I love Hogan. He recently did a thing with Flair saying that, you know, he'd love to come back to WWE. And, of course,
Which Ric I think Flair is a matter of time that's going to happen.
Ric Flair was all for it. He said that it probably is a good time for it to happen.
Yeah.
There's no doubt he will be welcomed back with open arms.
That asking price makes no sense.
The asking price for New Japan, you're going to get the chance to roll with the hottest thing in wrestling. Here's a chance for you to kind of grace yourself with the audience one more time. Maybe get a peek of exactly what the crowd thinks of you if you join Bullet Club. Maybe get a sense of where you're at. So maybe WWE sees, oh, wow, he's welcome with open arms. It's, you know, let's pull the trigger on Hogan. But $750K for Hogan, if you're the Bullet Club, come on, man. New Japan, you definitely have to pass on this.
Let me ask you a question, Jeff. At what point in somebody's career is it not about you anymore? And secondly, with Hogan, you know, isn't the point of... Isn't the point of the Bullet Club and guys like Kenny and Cody and, you know, the Young Bucks and Marty and Hangman, isn't part of this is, you know, acknowledging the past, but, you know, and paying attention to it, but not like not living off of it.
Well, they're done with the sayings, though.
That's one thing. But again, it takes those things and they put their own spin on it. You know, Too Sweet, you know, in my opinion, and we lived through the Attitude Era. We lived through the Monday Night Wars. I don't remember people going Too Sweet during those times. You know, it was kind of a special clique thing between, you know, both the members of the clique and things of that nature. Only in Japan did it become now the cool thing to do where it was like, Too Sweet, and then became One Sweet and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, and the Invasion too. But it's putting their own spin on it. For a guy like Hulk Hogan, what benefit do you have? Say it's not the amount of money that he asked for.
It would have been nice to see just in the Bullet Club, but the asking price in New Japan, you had to pass.
Really? Do you think it kind of does New it Japan, do a lot? But does it do a lot for Hogan? Just wear a Bullet Club shirt.
It would have been cool. It would have been cool to see. It would have been nice. You know how the fans listen. Hulk Hogan, he did wrong. There's no condoning what he did, his actions, and what he did.
But I'm not even bringing
said.
That up. I'm not but even bringing
the,
that up.
But
though.
The wrestling fans love Hogan, and to see him in a Bullet Club to be something, it'd be cool. But his asking price, if you're New Japan, I know you try to pull out all
so
the stops.
So he's gonna replace the colors of the NWO for life and go for Too Sweet.
Oh, it would have been an honorary member for the day. At least it would have been the sight to see. It would have gotten press. Listen. One thing about these guys is they know how to get press, you know, clippings.
And from that standpoint, I will stop talking because you're right. It would bring press.
It's $750K for Hogan.
That's
sorry.
A lot of press.
That's a lot of press. A lot of Hot Topic shirts that they got to put in to get Hogan in the fold. But
you know what that would sell, though. If you had a Hogan Bullet Club shirt, it would sell.
Oh, like hotcakes. Oh man, the money.
You were talking about when we're watching episodes of Being the Elite. If they actually sold that in Hot Topic where it says Bullet Club is fine, that thing would sell
it'd be
out.
Number one. It'd be number one next week.
It's white. Yeah, it's white hot right now.
All right. So you'd say that Hulk Hogan wins it all about, stops being about yourself. For someone who's not, it's all about me. It's Emma. Congratulations to Emma. We did see her last week at WrestlePro. It was great to see her in person against Angelina Love. It was great. And then we find out that she has now joined Ring of Honor, the Women of Honor, the tournament itself. It definitely has to be my pick to win the whole thing. I see a final with her and Kelly Klein, so I am down for that. Congratulations.
No, her and Mandy Leon.
Congratulations to Emma. That is amazing. That's awesome to see, and she's already making the headlines just a few weeks after being released from WWE, at least the contract, the 90-day clause being lifted, and now she can compete wherever she wants. She's making headlines.
And get the name right. It's not Emma. It's Tenille Dashwood.
Tenille Dashwood. 2018, okay. At the end of it, she will be the hottest female free agent right now in business.
She already is the hottest.
She will, demand her own price.
Yeah, it's true. And like I've mentioned to her when I personally had a chance to see her for an autograph signing, you know, as much as that saying is kind of funny and quirky, it's all about me, it really is all about her now. It's really about her and how she wants to dictate her career off the momentum of being promoted from WWE television. She has a lot of options before her, and for her to be part of this whole Women of Honor tournament, really great to see. And like I said, you know, this is something that, Jeff, we're not going to just be mentioning that we talked about last year, this year. This whole Women's Revolution thing, there's so much untapped talent in the women's division in all of professional wrestling. It would be Indie Circuit, it would be the United States, whether you go to Mexico, Japan, the UK, Europe, all parts of Europe. It's just amazing the talent that's out there right now.
Oh.
So I'm looking forward to this. And like I said, it's an exciting new time for Women of Honor, and it's an exciting time for Tenille Dashwood. It's all about her.
And Rich Swann, let's end it with Rich Swann let go by WWE this past this past week, kind of a crappy birthday present to get your paper, your pink slip from the WWE. But listen,
it could have been worse. He could have been fired on his wedding day, CM Punk.
They're not going to deal with the whole Enzo thing. They're not going to deal with domestic abuse.
Why did they wait on his birthday?
Even
to do
though,
that?
I know it's like it's
and people would be like, oh, people would be like, oh, you know, that wasn't done on purpose. You know when his birthday is. Yeah. You have his you know, his
date of birth.
Date of birth. You know when his birthday is. You going to send it to him on his birthday?
The whole issue was Sue Young. He was cleared, by the way.
Yeah.
Cleared. The whole charges were dropped. And let's be honest, 205 Live is going a new direction. They even got freaking Buddy Murphy joining 205 Live, all right? Mm-hmm. So let's be honest, the position for Rich Swann now going forward to 205 Live, there's probably no future whatsoever. So he gets a chance to make a name for himself again on the indie scene. Maybe we'll see him one day against in WWE. But let's be honest, WWE is not going to tolerate any domestic abuse, any kind of rape charges, anything like that. Because
well, yeah, it's
they have
bad
a brand
publicity.
To protect.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, you're right. They have a brand to protect. It's bad publicity, and of course, that's the unfortunate circumstances that Rich Swann has fallen himself under. But interesting, you said that, you know, if he were to come back and maybe, you know, 205 is going to a new direction, does that new direction, if Neville were to come back, does that fit the direction for
yes.
Neville?
Yes.
You think?
Yep. This new direction does. Okay. Triple H is overseeing it. You're going to see wrestlers like Roderick Strong in it. You've seen Tyler Bate in it. You've seen Itami, who's, you know, did not win, but obviously had a good matchup there too. Buddy Murphy, I think, is a talented wrestler. We'll see what happens in 205 Live, but I think it's going a different direction. It would. This kind of 205 Live will definitely suit a guy like Neville.
Now, that being said, do you think there's enough time to fix, to keep that bridge from burning?
I don't know.
Now that it's under Triple H's umbrella, it's under Vince.
I think there's more issues.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it's just he didn't like the way he was booked.
Because Triple H did like him a lot when he was part of NXT, especially when he did the first
NXT
special.
That's a good question,
man.
As long as he's under contract, they can always mend the fences.
Yeah.
So.
But again, the thing is it too late for it? Are those wounds too deep to heal?
Hey, man, the guy's willing to sit out and do absolutely nothing right now, so definitely they're going to have to mend some fences, but we'll find out. But never say never with Neville. It would be great to see him back, too. And then finally, closing our Wrestling Valentine's, and what I meant by that was basically it was Valentine's Day this past Wednesday. Of course, the Trendster and I sat home watching those Hallmark Channel Valentine's Day movies, tearing up, wishing we had that somebody
don't
special.
Speak for me.
I saw you.
I was watching, if you guys Google it, look it up, Shakiest Gun in the West with Don Knotts. That's what I was watching. If you guys don't know who Don Knotts is or knows the show Three Company, then I'm really old now, and I'm really dating myself, but definitely look it up. Funny movie, classic, kind of a Western, but that's what I was doing on Valentine's.
Let's find out if Brian Fritz actually listens to the show and sees and if he's ever heard of Shakiest Gun in the West. Brian, I'm throwing out there to you. Have you heard of Shakiest Gun in the West?
Throwing the challenge
out
there.
You and Michael Weissman, watch it, and I'm sure you guys will laugh. And they have significant others, so watch that with a date. Definitely, you guys will laugh, and it'll be a great date movie. So, yeah. Shakiest Gun in the West,
Wate.
Don Knotts. Wate, indeed.
Yes, but let's
right,
do
so
this. I don't have to buy anything, do I?
No. If I could have gone back in any era, women's wrestler, I would have given my Valentine's Day to me. There's no doubt about it. Well, not Faye Jackson, our guest, because it was a little too late. I already had to make a decision. It's going to be Terry Runnels, of course, Marlena. Wow. Used to come out with Goldust. Yes, she would be my wrestling Valentine's.
Very good selection. You definitely had a crush on her growing up, and we're definitely fanboying. We had a chance to speak to her on the show, so that was really cool. Mine would have to be somebody who I've never met before, and definitely one of my longest crushes when it came to... Wait, is this just isolated to WWE?
No, anybody.
So it can be somebody current too, right?
Current, anybody. Mm.
That kind of changes things. Might have to give two Valentines here. But again, hey, I'll say the name. I'm sure everybody's always said too. It's got to be Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
Looking at her, seeing her at the Royal Rumble. I mean, this woman's had two children. And doesn't look she's aged a day. She still looks in incredible shape. She's a mother of two. She's been out of the business
you
for how many?
I'm sorry, but you said that already.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Jeff. Heaven forbid you ever repeat things twice. Seriously. Jeez. I have to deal with this prima donna Jeff at times, guys. I'm sorry about that. And again, it's my Valentine's. Why are you questioning it? And this is Jeff, too. He gets jealous because he knows that Trish Stratus is a lot hotter than Terry Runnels ever could be. And Terry would be the first one to admit to you that. And, you know, it'd have to be Trish Stratus. I would love some Stratus faction on Valentine's Day. And I was so jealous of Jericho when he was doing that angle with Trish Stratus. Like, I wish it was me. I wish I was asking Trish Stratus out on a date and giving her flowers. I bet you one thing. I wouldn't be betting a dollar Canadian to see if I could sleep with Trish Stratus.
And then she would have made you a hockey jersey all knitted her all
by herself. And all she would have underneath is all lingerie. Oh, my goodness.
Well, nothing, if you ask me. She'd have nothing under there. But,
anyways, but I have to be Trish Stratus.
Trish Stratus for the Trendsetter and Marlena, a.k.a. Terry Reynolds. No, actually, no. Terry Reynolds, a.k.a. Marlena, would be
Oh, my God. Jeff made a mistake. Oh, my goodness. It's never happened before.
Keep that on there so you can see that's the only mistake I've ever made on this show.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right. All right, man. Once again, next time you can find the Jersey Wrecking Crew, we will be Pro Wrestling Magic in Richfield Park, New Jersey on February 17th. Make sure you check that out. We'll be providing interviews from that event, too, so looking forward to that. That is Pro Wrestling Magic. Love Gun. Looking forward to the main event there. It's going to be our friend Fala Ba taking on EC Negro, so it's going to be a good matchup there. Then the next week we'll be at Standalone Wrestling. Chad Minnis and crew will be there, and of course it'll be headlined by Tennille Dashwood and Brittany Blake. We will be there live, get an interview with Brittany Blake too, as she talks about her wrestling career and taking on Tennille Dashwood. It's probably going to be the biggest name she's faced so far, so we'll be there. So that's where we'll be the next 2 weeks. And then you can catch us on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network, Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman's baby. We're just happy to be part of the flagship show on the network. You can hear, listen to their show, Between the Ropes. You got Cosmetic Geppetto, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu Myers and Justin Simmons, Stick to the Gimmick, Spencer Davies and Martin Harp. Also, you can catch us on the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks. You can catch great shows like Destruction 101, A Drink with Gino, A Genuine Taste of Wrestling, and Outsiders Podcast with Mark Adam Haggerty. Trendsetter, where can they find us on social media?
Oh, on social media, guys, can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/highspotpodcast. As well, you can follow us on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, all one word, @highspotpodcast. And don't forget to visit our brand spanking new website, as Jeff likes to say.
It's a spanking new website.
Highspotpodcast.com. And guys, don't forget also our YouTube channels out there as well. Brand new YouTube channels we've mentioned throughout the course of the show. Check it out. We have the latest updated episodes and interviews from the world of professional wrestling, as well as my mini-series, Adventures to the Trendsetter, as I explore exotic and AVN in Las Vegas, Nevada for the first time with all your favorite adult film stars. So guys, definitely check that as well. And for the audio, you guys can obviously follow us on iTunes, leave us a five-star rating, leave us a review. You can also listen to us on various other platforms too, of SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean. So we are everywhere for you guys to listen to. There's no excuse not to listen to the High Spot Podcast if you're a member of the crew.
Again, guys, the Trendsetter is here. I am Jeff Martin. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Once again, our thanks goes out to Faye Jackson for joining us this week. Remember to catch us again next week. And remember, we do this all for you guys. We do it for the crew.
People say that Britain stops in cold weather, but it's not true. So Aerial Gel is giving a shout out to people who do outstanding work in the cold, like Ned, who delivers post in freezing Yorkshire and gets his muddy socks clean with Aerial Gel.
It's a bit parky at -4 to -5, but just put my socks up and I crack on.
Ned, we think you're outstanding in the cold. An Aerial Gel is outstanding at cleaning in cold temperatures. Try it. It's brilliant.